your job's a lot easier the last three games.
Yeah, you know how that is, right? When the team's not playing very well over the last couple of years, it's been tough, you know, because as a player, as you know, you see the little things that aren't, you know, being done and the team struggling. And, you know, you're trying to give the fans what they deserve, which is an honest feedback. And then also knowing that you were a player one day and, or, you know, used to be a player and that you've made a lot of mistakes in your time as a player. But, a much easier product to call the last three games for the Sharks. They've gotten off to a good start.
Brett, the Sharks weren't exactly a defensive juggernaut of yore, but this season so far, I mean, they're barely getting scored on. I think they have the best goals against per game in the league right now. Has something changed? I guess I'll just leave it there. Has something changed?
Oh, a lot has changed. Aiden Hill and James Reimer. I mean, that's, you know, when a team at the end of the season and looking at the goals against average, and you guys can do your research on this, but the last 3 years, they've been almost near the bottom of the league, if not the last team in the league as far as save percentage and goals against average. So that was one of the biggest commitments you saw right at the end of the season last year when Doug Wilson sat kind of some of us media down and said, hey, look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go after some new goaltenders. That's a priority. And then obviously a third line center position is something that I need to address. So those two things, he went out and executed. Aiden Hill, they looked at analytics and said, boy, we've got a young kid here. He's 6'6", and he checks off that box. He's a big goalie, which is kind of the prototype goaltender these days, as you know, and a 25-year-old, you know, young guy. So not a lot of experience yet, obviously, in the National Hockey League. But his analytics as far as moving left to right, post to post, was really off the charts. And that's something that's why they went after Aiden Hill. James Reimer had been in the organization before. Bob Bugner had him also in Florida when he was coaching the Panthers. And so there's some trust there. So that's the biggest thing that I'm seeing is that the goaltending change has made a drastic difference. And then obviously the Nick Bonino and Andrew Cogliano, two veteran guys that you don't think are a big deal, probably under the radar. But when you really break it down as far as ice time is concerned, they're much more defensive. And there's some more trust there in that third line center position with Nick Bonino, which would take some minutes away from Couture and Hurdle.
How about the game face on Erik Karlsson? I'm watching his first intermission interview, and is he salty, man?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think there's a chip on his shoulder, and there's a chip on a lot of the veterans' shoulder. I mean, everybody in the league, and you guys, I'm sure, broke it down. I don't even know if anybody has even mentioned the Sharks going into the season. I know in all of the, you know, the magazines and whatnot, and any of the predictions, they had them at eighth in the Pacific. You know, I was listening to the radio one day when somebody's talking about the Western and particularly the Pacific division, and they didn't even mention the San Jose Sharks organization. So I think as a whole, you know, Brent Burns, Erik Karlsson, Tomas Hertl, Logan Couture, you know, these are the guys that for me and Vlasic have a big chip on their shoulder, not only to have a better season, but also personally. I mean, Erik Karlsson just hasn't performed the way you guys have probably seen him perform up in Ottawa for the Sharks. He just hasn't found his game yet. But we're seeing glimpses of that here to start the year.
So I'm sorry to have this conversation, but you can't not talk about Evander Kane a little bit. You know, is it possible that a change in room chemistry has anything to do with the success, or is this just entirely unrelated to what's gone on there?
Well, you know, Kipper, too, you could probably comment on this. Is, you know, sometimes there's an addition through subtraction just as far as the exterior noise that's going on that Evander, you know, brought around this team even last year. I think having him completely removed going into training camp, you know, 10 new bodies, 10 new guys that have joined this team that weren't here last year that are on the roster right now. And eight of them are in the lineup, you know, over the first three games and will be in the lineup tonight. So when you're looking at new bodies in an environment, you're trying to bring these guys up to speed and you're trying to, you know, conform everybody into this culture that you've been trying to kind of get this team to come together, you know, over the last few years. It just hasn't happened. All of a sudden, you know, addition through subtraction with Kane not being around, say what you want. This team really looks close. You're seeing them respond to teammates immediately, where last year it almost took 10, 15 games for a teammate to stand up for somebody. It took really a period and a half for the Sharks to stand up for one another, and it was a whole four-guy unit stepping up for the guy on the ice. So you're seeing a completely different environment as far as culture is concerned with the Sharks this year.
Brett Hedigan is joining us, who does a tremendous work with the San Jose Sharks as an analyst on NBCSN. Just one more on Kane. The San Jose Sharks get 21 days where they don't have to publicly speak of it. But is there any scenario that you see that could put Evander Kane back in a San Jose Shark uniform? Because I don't.
You know, you're saying the same thing Randy Hahn has said to me, my partner on the broadcast, the veteran, the great play-by-play guy. You know, he's basically said the same thing that you said, Kipper. Me, I think there's 7 million reasons why you'd almost have to put him back in. Obviously, that's his salary. But the good news is, you know, Hassel Plattner, the owner of the Sharks, one of the richest owners in National Hockey League, you know, he's the one that this will probably fall upon. I mean, do you want to buy the guy out and or have him stay away from this team? Is that better for the development of where you want these 10 new bodies and some of their young players to go in the future? Or is it 7 million reasons you're paying this guy? Let's put him back on the ice, and hopefully he's learned some lessons and, you know, taken care of some of the off-ice issues that he's been trying to deal with. So, hey, nobody's perfect as far as Evander Kane. I mean, we've all had our problems in life. But, you know, when it comes to hockey, you know, you want to make sure your teammate is pulling the rope for you like you're pulling the rope for him. And, you know, there's a lot of rumors about Kane and things he's done off the ice that, you know, has let down his teammates. And I think he's got a lot to prove if he were to come back in that locker room.
It's going to expose a organizational set of priorities, isn't it? Like, if they decide that, you know, they can't have this guy in because of their fit and culture and beliefs versus if they decide they're a team that doesn't want to waste money, it's going to be a direct reflection of the organization, is it not?
Well, yeah, you're making a good point. And this is I think, Kipper, when you say they got 21 days to think about it, or 21 games, if you will, to think about this decision, you know, we don't know anything as far as the media. It's been pretty quiet, right? But you have to understand inside those doors, if you will, in the Sharks management and coaching staff, I'm sure they're having these conversations and thinking about, you know, long-term effects if they bring them back, or the effects of what this team continues to grow like if they keep them away. So, look, these are big decisions, I think, over the next 21 days, even though it's been really quiet. And as you mentioned, Kipper, 21 games to think about it.
Hey, Brett, we're looking at a real early sample size of this season. Yet there are some interesting storylines, and Buffalo's one of them, and San Jose, I think we can put in that mix. But when you truly look, Brett, at that Pacific Division, how can you not think that maybe San Jose Sharks could still find a way to make the playoffs?
I agree. And, you know, even before the season, watching this team perform in preseason, seeing what they've been doing with Brent Burns and Carlson, you know, these are two of the best defensemen in the world. Let's call it what it is. And if you were to start an organization and say, hey, I'm going to give you Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson, you'd feel pretty good about yourself. And even though Karlsson hasn't lived up to billing, if you will, this guy has shown sign of brilliance. Now, the experiment is over, is what Bob Bugner said about the power play. He wanted to split these guys up, and that's what you've seen here to start the season. They've got 5 power play goals in the first 3 games, and both these units have produced. And the reason why is because it's been predictable. They've had one guy go over the boards with 4 forwards or the other guy. So you're either putting Burns or Carlson for the full 2 minutes. You've got a threat on the ice. So for me, you get a lot of things that are happening within this team with William Eklund, this 19-year-old kid that's got some talent. Jonathan Dahlin, I love Ulf Dahlin's son, who's been a really nice addition with Couture. And Timo Meier, for me, is a guy that's just been non-existent the last couple of years. He's kind of gotten off the rails of what he could be as far as a 30-goal scorer, which he's been. That line for me has been dominant. But again, going back to Nick Bonino has been a nice addition to be able to add more ice time in critical areas, that trust that Bonino brings for a third-line center to take some of those minutes away from Tomas Hertl and Logan Couture, keeping them fresh.
So it sounds to me like you don't see this Sharks start as like a smoke and mirrors thing. Like, you think this team is a team that actually can make a playoff push this season in maybe a softer division where a lot of people had them written off. Is that fair? So Toronto's got their hands full tomorrow is what I'm asking.
Well, you mean today. I mean, tonight, Toronto, tonight. Sorry, this game is today. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think Toronto is going to be a tough opponent. I mean, if Sharks are traveling East Coast, it's an earlier game for them. They played last night. Toronto's been rested. I think Sharks are going to have their hands full. But I think this team, you're right, the Pacific Division isn't as strong as the other divisions. We all know that. But I think this team is really ripe if they continue to get the goaltending and they can stay healthy. This team is a, for me, I believe, a playoff team.
I don't know if anybody's told you this, but it's a 6 p.m. start tonight.
Yeah,
wild.
Like, okay, did anybody ask San Jose if they wanted an earlier start after a back-to-back? No, nobody wanted to ask them?
No. Was it just because of Toronto is getting on the road to head back to the U.S.?
Yeah, they want to get their rest tomorrow, right? They want to get their sleep. They're sleepy.
And there's a doctor somewhere that says they shouldn't eat past 9 p.m. or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's great. But no, I agree with you guys. I think, you know, nobody's really looking at the Sharks, but I think they've done some good things. You know, Jasper Weatherby scored opening night, 6'4", 200 pounder from University of North Dakota. He's a big body. He can handle fourth line minutes and handle himself in the corners. Lane Peterson came off of Arizona. I think he's been a nice addition on that fourth line as well. So they're younger, they're stronger, they're more deeper down the middle. And then the main thing for me is goaltending. If this continues to move the way it's been moving so far in preseason and the first three games, I think this team's going to be in good shape.
They got to decide anything with Hurdle, because there are some rumblings that he may be available at the trade deadline. He needs a new ticket. What's your sense?
My sense is that Hurdle is probably in a wait and see what's going to happen with this culture and as far as Kane. And that's what's been written by Kevin Kurz, who writes for The Athletic, you know, talking about Tomáš Hurdle. Would he love to stay here in San Jose? Yes, I believe he does. And he would probably take a hometown discount, if you will, to stay. But he has to be able to see good positive things coming around him, because he's just like everybody. As you get older in your career, you want to win a Stanley Cup. He's had some success here in San Jose and wants to get back into that dance.
You know, we'll ask you one more Toronto-centric question here. James Reimer, he was a beloved Toronto Maple Leaf for a while. Is there anything left in the tank? Do you love the man? What are your thoughts on Reimer and his where he's at in his career?
I'm excited about him. You know, I loved his game last night, boy. He played terrific.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, what I've been hearing from Bob, and I've watched them a little bit, both these guys in practice, is Bob Bugner told me that both these guys compete in practice like they've never seen goaltenders. I mean, nothing against Martin Jones, love him, you know, for what he did for the Sharks in 16 to take him to the Stanley Cup. But I just didn't see him working like a Stanley Cup champion does every day, like, you know, a Nick Bonino who gets it, who understands, who's won a Stanley Cup, who understands the daily grind of practice and how that makes you better in a game. And when you have Aiden Hill and James Reimer competing in practice, diving for saves, it lifts the team. And so I'm really excited about James Reimer and Aiden Hill. I think both these guys are going to give anything in the 900 save percentage or a goals against in the two. I think the Sharks will be ecstatic.